Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Colter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home, the safe place to study your Bible, the safe place to have church. Now, I promise you, I'll give a couple of segments on how to have church at home and how to keep the Sabbath at home. But right now, we're in the middle of a series showing the return of Jesus Christ and the sequence of the events and how they are going to happen. We have seen that God has designated and limited the time of the end to 7 years, the 70th week of the 70-week prophecy of Daniel, the 9th chapter. And that is divided into 2 3.5-year periods. And in the midst of the week, the one who becomes the beast power, the one who is the king of the north, the one who is going to start the great tribulation at the end, is going to break the covenant that he has made with Israel, allowing them to have their temple and sacrifices. And the king of the south is going to push at the king of the north, and he's going to retaliate against him with a force, with ships and airplanes, and come in and invade Egypt and Libya and Tunisia and going into the Holy Land. And then he's going to go in the temple and sit and say, he is God. And that's when the great tribulation begins, because Jesus said, when you see the abomination spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, and that requires a temple. Then shall be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world. We haven't seen that yet. Now, we also know from Revelation 13 that there is coming a very short term an amalgamation of the religions of the world to support the world government. Now, when we come to Revelation, the 6th chapter, all of these things will become apparent. So let's come to Revelation 6, because we left off last time with the sealing of the 144,000 and the great innumerable multitude, which we saw the tribulation against Israel ends in 2 years. So let's go back and see the event that leads up to that fulfillment of the 2-year period and how that 2-year period is ended, because Jesus said, immediately after the tribulation of those days. And let's see how that is fulfilled with Revelation, the 6th chapter. Now, Revelation 6 is very interesting, because we find in Revelation 5 that the scroll that has all of the rest of the book of Revelation sealed in is sealed with 7 seals. And the only one worthy to open it is the Lion of the tribe of David, who is Christ, the warrior, and the Lamb that was slain, that's the Savior Jesus, both of those picture Jesus, and the scroll was given to him to open. And he is the one who has the key of understanding when these events are going to take place. And he receives this scroll from God the Father, who is sitting on the throne, as you read Revelation 4 and 5 and see the vision of the throne of God and the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders. And Christ comes to the Father, and the Father gives him the scroll. And then great things happen at this particular time. Let's come back here to Revelation 5 and verse 11. Let's see what happens in heaven before the events on the earth take place. Because when that first seal is open, there's a space of time for the religions to come together. And then we will see the second, third, and fourth seal come in very fast succession. And then the sixth seal is the most profound of them all. Let's come to Revelation 5. Let's look at the backdrop on it and what is happening in heaven. Verse 11, And I saw and heard the voices of many angels around the throne, and the voices of the living creatures and the elders, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now, if you want something very inspiring, you go buy the CD of Handel's Messiah, and you listen to it. Absolutely inspired music. And they have a hymn, Worthy is the Lamb. Very inspiring, very uplifting. And it shows that great events are going to take place at the throne of God before the things take place on the earth. Now notice how powerful this is, because there are things that affect the whole earth, everything in the earth, every living creature in the earth. And those are those that God has made and created. So notice what happens in response to Christ receiving the scroll. And every creature that is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and those that are on the sea and all the things in them, I heard saying, here's a hymn of all God's creation back to him when this event takes place. I heard saying, to him who sits on a throne, God the Father, and to the Lamb who is next to him, who has the scroll with seven seals, be blessing and honor and glory and sovereignty into the ages of eternity. Going on in, as we see at the book of Revelation, into the new heavens and to the new earth. You see, this part of God's plan now is going to come to its climactic end, beginning with the amalgamation of the religions and then the great tribulation. Verse 14, and the four living creatures said, Amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives into the ages of eternity. What a scene. What a tremendous thing that is going to take place. Now chapter 6 and verse 1. And John is seeing this, and then he writes, And I looked, and when the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard one of the four living creatures say, like the sound of a thunder, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, there was a white horse, and the one who was sitting on him had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. White horse is symbolizing the false Christ. The beast that looked like a lamb, spoke like a dragon, also called the false prophet, all of these things describe this false prophet. And he goes out, and because of the miracles that were given him to do, all of the religions of the world come together for a short time. Now maybe this will take place at the beginning of the 7 years as a backup and reinforcement of the covenant that the beast power is going to do beginning the 7-year period, and then cut right in the middle for 3.5 years. Now verse 3, there's a sudden change, and this has to be when the tribulation begins. This has to be when the king of the north comes down against the king of the south, conquers the countries, goes into the temple and says, I am God. When he does that, he receives a deadly wound and it's healed. And then the tribulation begins with full fury. Let's read it. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, Come and see. And another horse went out, and it was red. Red is symbolizing of war. And power was given to the one sitting on it to take peace from the earth and to cause them to kill one another. And a great sword was given to him, because this is the beginning of the great tribulation. And the tribulation starts against Israel and Judah first, as we have seen. Now when war takes place, things happen very quickly. Very quickly. So the second seal, the third seal, the fourth seal, and the fifth seal follow very, very quickly. It's not over a period of time. So war starts. He comes against the 10 tribes. He comes against Israel. Later we find that trouble in the north and the east, and we will see how that leads into Revelation, the 8th chapter. So there are a lot of prophecies that can be coordinated and put together once we understand the time frame of 7 years, 3.5, 3.5, and then of the last 3.5, 2 years and 1.5. Let's continue. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, there was a black horse, and the one sitting on him had a balance in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures say, "A measure of wheat for a silver coin, and 3 measures of barley for a silver coin, and see that you do not damage the oil and the wine." Immediately when war takes place, what happens? A rush for food, shortage of food. And that's quickly consumed. Now, I want you to think today about how it is with the people of the world. Think about how you get your food. Do you grow it? Do you harvest it? Do you process it? Do you store it? Do you lay in store all your foods for the next year? No. The whole world is geared to what? Going to the supermarket. Now, let me ask you a question. If the supermarkets are destroyed, and the roads going to the supermarkets are destroyed, and you only have a little bit of food at home, how long do you think you're going to last until starvation sets in your house? A week? 10 days? Now, you know for sure that if you have food stored there, when this begins, if you remain fat and sassy and everybody else is becoming thin because of lack of food and starvation, which we'll read of here in just a minute, you know they're coming after you. And a Bible even predicts a lot of cannibalism is going to be going on. So you need to understand these are grim and gruesome times. That's why it's called the Great Tribulation. Let's read on. Verse 7. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, there was a pale horse, and the name of the one sitting on it was Death. And the grave followed him, and authority was given to them over 1/4 of the earth. That area in northern Africa and Palestine and probably America and Canada and Australia and Great Britain. To kill with the sword, and with famine, and with death, and by the beast of the earth. So that's going to follow very rapidly. Now, they've got to blame someone. How about all of those who are true Christians that refuse the mark of the beast, that refuse to make an image to the beast? They're going to be the troublemakers. They're going to be singled out. And that's when the proof of our faith is going to be tried if we're going to be living in those days. Do we have the faith and the strength of spiritually and the courage to stand and to die for Christ? Do we? Or are we comfortable, well-fed, fat Christians, Laodiceans, that we have need of nothing, and in some cases, not even Christ? So let's read the fifth seal. A lot of people turn here and say, "Oh, this shows that souls go to heaven." Really? If they go to heaven, why is there a resurrection from the dead? I'll let you think on that. Let's go ahead and read it. We'll explain it here. Verse 9, and when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Question. What happened to all of those who were Christians who lived a normal life and died in the faith? Why doesn't it mention them? Aren't they worthy of eternal life? Didn't they die in the faith? Why doesn't it mention them? Because this is a particular vision to show a particular event in prophecy that is going to take place, which also occurred in the past, and there were many who gave their lives. So this vision is depicting an event that is showing the martyrdom of the saints as it is being expressed through the fifth seal in the last days. Has nothing to do with the immortality of the soul, just a vision to show that this martyrdom is going to be repeated on a vast and a tremendous scale on a worldwide basis. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, this is in vision. Just like when Peter, James, and John saw Christ transfigured and Moses and Elijah were there talking with him. It was a vision. They really weren't there. Like this, they really are not there, but this is a vision to portray what's going to happen, see. How long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And white robes were given to each of them, and they were told that they should rest a short time until it be fulfilled that both their fellow servants and their brethren also be killed as they had been. Martyrdom of the saints. That's why we need to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, all our being, you see. Because we're going to have to stand for the truth. Are you ready to stand for the truth? Have you totally given your life to Jesus Christ? Are you totally converted with the Spirit of God? Are you yielded to God? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Do you yearn for the Spirit of God? Do you yield to God, understanding your weaknesses, understanding the difficulties of the flesh? Do you cry out to God daily to make you strong, to fill you with faith, to give you understanding of His Word? That's what it's going to take to be able to stand and say, whatever you do, you do. And we're going to be called upon to give a witness to kings, to governors, to leaders, to military leaders, to soldiers, to persecutors, to assassins. And we're going to have to tell them, Christ is returning, and the kingdom of God is coming. And He's going to take over this world, and you are going to lose your job. Kill me if you must, but know God's judgment is upon you. Are you going to be able to do that? What will you do? Well, the martyrdom's going to come. And you're not going to prepare for it 5 minutes before it arrives. You better prepare now. While you have the peace, while you have the security. That's why church at home, so that you can become a strong Christian, filled with the Spirit of God, covered with the grace of God, keeping the commandments of God in spirit and in truth and in love. That's why we have church at home. You're not going to get any of this from a Sunday-keeping church. You're not going to get this from very many Sabbath-keeping churches. You see, God said in the end time, after the invitation went out for everyone to come to the wedding feast, it went out a couple of times and they refused, one to his business, one to his work, another one to whatever he was doing. And still there was room, so he sent the servants out again and said, tell them to come, go into the highways, go into the byways, bring them the good, the bad. That's where we are right now. Church at home is reaching out to the highways and byways around the world 24/7. That's why we're here. That's why we're doing what we are doing. You're going to be prepared for the fifth seal? Now let's see what happens to cut the martyrdom short and to finish the 2 years of tribulation against Israel. What is that one singular event? All right, hold your place right here in Revelation 6. Let's come back to Matthew 24. Let's review what Jesus said. Let's see what it is going to be, and then we will see how it is going to come about. It is going to be the most fantastic and astonishing thing that has ever happened in the history of the world, the return of Christ in power and in glory. Now let's read it here. Verse 29, but immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. The sign of the Son of Man in heaven is what? For as the light of day which comes forth out of the east and shines as far as the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And we will see that the coming of the Son of Man is not a quick, it's all over, folks. No. Every eye is going to see it, and they are going to see it for the better part of a year. They're going to look out, and they're going to see two suns. Let's see what Revelation 6 tells us about this, verse 12. When he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as a sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree cast its untimely figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind. That's what we just read in Matthew 24, right? Now notice what else happens. Notice how the sign of the Son of Man is going to suddenly appear. Unexpected. Unrealized by men. Here they are down there fighting and warring and killing and martyring. And all of a sudden, God gets their attention with this tremendous event. Verse 14, then the heaven departed like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, the rich men, and the chief captains, and the powerful men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, because the great day of his wrath is come, who has the power to stand. So the heavens are going to roll back. The stars are going to fall. It is going to be absolutely something. And when the heavens roll back, they're going to look out there and see the sign of the Son of Man, a new sun. Oh, look at that. We've never seen that before. How's that for a secret rapture? See? No. They're going to wonder, what is this? No, we're going to see that sign of the Son of Man, that second sun shining from east to the west, is going to stay out there for the better part of a year. Now, that's going to bring to instantly a halt to all war and killing for the time being, because of what happened was shaking of the heavens, shaking of the earth. We find that in Isaiah, the second chapter. We find that in Haggai, the second chapter, where he says that he's going to shake the heavens, he's going to shake the earth, he's going to shake the dry land, he's going to shake the seas. So the earth is going to be out of its orbit. It's going to be hard to tell which day is which, especially with two suns rising and setting that they have never seen before. And it's going to be an astonishing thing. They're going to realize that it's the return of Christ from heaven. But Christ, to them, is not going to be the Savior of the world. Christ, to them, is going to be a major alien invasion. You see, people like to talk about aliens. Oh, yeah, there are aliens. There are lots of aliens. God the Father, Jesus Christ, all of the angels. And then on top of that, you have the demons. Now, with this coming on, let me ask you, what are you going to do with your life? Remember what John the Baptist said? He says, repent. Remember what Apostle Peter said? He said, repent. And repentance means coming to God and confessing your sins. We'll have some more church at home on that. How do you do that? Right at church at home, that's how you do it. You can get on your knees right at home and repent to God and say, oh God, spare me. Oh God, forgive me. Oh God, lead me. You seek God. He promises that you will find him, because he is seeking those who are seeking him. These are events that are going to come. We don't want to be left out there with no clothing on, spiritually speaking. We don't want to get caught up on the wrong sight of these events. That's why I said in the beginning of this, you better get on God's side, because he ain't coming on your side. He'll watch over you and spare you and help you, but you better get right with God. And that starts with repentance and baptism and keeping the commandments of God. Now, these things are coming just as sure as the rising and setting of the sun. The word of God is true. The word of God is pure. The word of God is righteous. And these events will come to pass exactly as we find them in the Bible. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Please visit our other website, cbcg.org, where you can download the whole series on Daniel and Revelation. There we have many, many, many more details covering many other things in the end time. This is just a basic outline of what's going to happen that we're presenting here on Church at Home. So until next time, thank you for inviting me into your home, and this is Fred Calder saying, so long, everyone.